This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
All right, it's almost trick-or-treating time for those who are paying attention. Halloween night, most people do it on Halloween night.
Well, unfortunately, I'm giving out candy tonight. So if you're not around tonight, I would trick-or-treat every night if I could go back.
Yeah. Gato is like, that's my way of not giving out anything. It's actually pretty clever, too. That's one way you could screw up trick-or-treating. Here are some other ways that people screw up trick-or-treating. They say you should not leave the little kids terrified. Halloween is supposed to be fun and scary, not so bad that the kids are scarred for life.
I've seen it, though. I mean, I've been a part of that where a guy dressed up and he had his, like, a mask on, and the kids were running up to the house. He jumped out of the bushes, and it was a zombie-looking character. Scared them half to death.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
And that's all the fun of it, though. We had a place when I was a kid. He would always come out in with a chainsaw and everything else and chase us, hopefully with the chain not on it. But that was the fun part
okay,
of it.
That's great until you got your 3-year-old going trick-or-treating or 4 years old and their first trick-or-treat ever.
It builds character.
You know, if you need a no-scare medallion, go to Mad World.
Yeah.
Because it ain't happening in our neighborhood.
I know.
You don't give out anything anyway.
I know. But we're talking about little kids. I'm like, it's one thing to do it to the teenagers, but don't do it to a 3-year-old.
Right.
He'll be scarred for life.
He'll be tough.
You don't have kids.
All right. Also, not being serious about safety is a way you can screw up trick-or-treating. Cars are the big concern, so make sure you give your kids a flashlight or a glow stick. Bright colors are better than dark, but that's not always possible with Halloween. But make sure they can see okay through their mask and don't let their costume trip them up too much.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that is going to be part of Halloween, but I do think you need to watch out really carefully for the cars, and the people in cars need to step up and be careful that night.
I agree. The glow sticks and flashlights are great, though.
Okay, if they fit into your costume at all. Here's another thing that people screw up trick-or-treating is all, and this is the media is to blame for this, people like Hawk, freaking out about drugs or razor blades in the candy. People talk about it every year, but it's not really a thing. In 90 years of trick-or-treating, there are very few reports of anything like that, and most all of those turn out to be mistakes or they didn't really happen.
Now, I was just telling people to be, you know, all you parents out there, check for razor blades, poison, gluten, non-organic peanut butter, or artificial flavors, artificial colors, and artificial sweeteners.
Like I said.
Okay. Stay home.
I know.
All right, ways people screw up trick-or-treating, letting your kids be rude. They shouldn't get the candy by default. Make sure they say trick-or-treat, and they thank the person that gives them the candy and say thank you to anyone who likes their costume. That's just good parenting, folks.
Yes, it is.
Giving out candy with nuts. I don't agree with this one. They say there's too many kids with serious nut allergies these days. You know, they can hand it off to their brother or sister or trade with someone else, but I don't think that you should have to find a bland one-size-fits-all candy.
You know what? Candies have nuts.
Right.
At this point.
Other ways people screw up Halloween, poor planning. Hitting a few of your neighbor's houses might be all your 3-year-old can handle, but your 10-year-old may want to stay out longer, so make sure you're not carrying a tired kid around all night. That, always, like if you got the 3-year-old and the 10-year-old, you want to separate that trick-or-treat experience.
Or I've seen a lot of parents where they bring a little wheelbarrow, and that's really cute.
Yeah. Like a wagon? Not,
yes, wagon. There
okay.
we go. That's
wow.
the word.
Like. Yeah. A wheelbarrow, you got lifted up. I can just see kids like bleeding over the side, falling out of the wheelbarrow.
Just toss the candy inside the wheelbarrow as they go by.
Mm-hmm. All right. And finally, ways you're screwing up Halloween trick-or-treating, skipping it all together. Trick-or-treating is one of the few rites of passage where kids aren't totally controlled by their parents. It's a community-building aspect where we trust our neighbors to play along and pitch in, so let your kids trick-or-treat and hand out candy to other people's kids. Don't kill the vibe, Gato.
Oh, hush. You know, when I was a kid, our parents didn't go with us. Mm-mm. A group of kids from the neighborhood, we'd go all over. We'd go for blocks and blocks. You don't see that much anymore.
That's because people put their lights out and don't give out candy anymore.
No, yeah. I just don't see it. Yeah, it seems like they go to particular neighborhoods, like y'all's neighborhoods, that give out the big bars of candy. The ones they go to.
Well, and sometimes you'll see those big hay trucks come in from other neighborhoods because they know that your neighborhood gives out a lot of candy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that ain't right. I ain't got enough money to buy all that candy for your neighborhood, too.
True story. Friend of mine, their HOA, sent out a letter to all the residents, said, there's a secret password for the trick-or-treaters, and if they give out, if they don't know the password, they don't get the good candy. They get the cheap stuff. But
that's
if they
crazy.
Have the password,
no.
that means they live in the neighborhood and they get the big candy bars.
That what a curmudgeon. Because let those kids hustle. If they need to go to the rich neighborhood and get the good size candy bars, let them.
How much can they afford to give them?
Well, you give it out until you're done.
Well,
and then lights off like Kato.
Then half your kids in your neighborhood didn't get any candy.
Well,
it's
they should have hustled.
People. It's the rich people. They can afford it.
Well, oh, boy. Tom's so you're the rich person.
Tom's going to give out the neighborhood and the password. Password, so just go to our website.
I'm not a narc. Snitches get stitches, and they don't get Twix.
And candy.
I was trying to have a candy that sounded like stitches.
It didn't work.
It was close.
Skittles?
Stitches get Skittles.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, I know a lot of times here, I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes story of what goes on.
Please don't.
A lot of times when I'm walking in the office, the smell hits me of like, what in the world is that? And I notice that Tom's mini fridge is open.
Okay.
And so I'm like, oh, we need to try to shut the mini fridge. And then I come back in here. I say, hey, Tom, your mini fridge is open. And Tori's like, oh, I think I forgot to shut it. So
that's not how that goes, but sure.
Tori shuts it. She just doesn't do a good job, and it pops back open.
Right. But I don't understand. I will seriously, because the first time you said something, I felt bad. So every time since then, I have shut the mini fridge. I sit there and stare at it for a minute to make sure it doesn't pop back open, and then I leave the room.
And I swear I don't walk in there every so often and open it and just
like,
wait. I did not do that. I thought about it, but I didn't. I mean, it's already doing it itself. But
we have a ghost.
It's probably trying to get a breath of fresh air because it's so nasty in there.
It opens and it's like, oh, thank goodness.
Yes. To be fair, a Coke exploded in there.
And it's probably causing it not to stick well, not the magnetic part of the fridge.
It's not that.
I think that's what it is.
Well, I know what it is. Whenever it gets closed, there's so much stuff in it that it pushes back against it, and so you have to give it a firm close or the stuff in the fridge pushes the door back.
You don't think the stuff in the fridge can push it open?
Yeah. There's stuff that, you know, I think there's stuff that's living in there. That's alive.
Unfortunately, I'm afraid most of it died.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not one for leftovers. I don't like to eat leftovers. Oh, many times Tom will bring in leftovers here on the show and he'll put them in the microwave. Tori does that. Cato, he prepares his lunch. Do you put it in the microwave?
I make all my breakfasts on Sunday. My boiled egg and turkey bacon. And I don't heat it up. I just leave it right here beside me until I eat it.
But a lot of people, they love leftovers. Yes. I will occasionally eat like pizza leftovers and stuff. But it's not my thing.
I've been eating leftovers now for 3 days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there are apps out there that allows neighbors to now exchange food leftovers.
I don't have any to exchange. But I'll take what you don't eat.
It's like, you know, you got your family down the street making spaghetti and some, you know, garlic bread. And then the other family is making meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and lima beans.
Mm.
And you get together, apparently, like, hey, we have these leftovers. You can have that tomorrow night, and I'll take your spaghetti for tomorrow night, and we'll have leftovers. So we got our dinners covered.
I don't see it, that many people going for this.
I like it.
I don't trust the neighbors that
much. I agree. You don't know what the hell they're cooking that stuff.
Well, you got to know your neighbors to take food like that. But I just,
you know.
My luck, I'll get beside the neighbors that are vegetarians or stuff I don't like. I will go to give a shout out to my neighbors. I came home this past Sunday, and he called and said, not only did I have a free case of beer for you that I don't have room for.
Oh, wow.
But we had a barbecue competition over the weekend, and I'm about to cook a big old thing of barbecue for my family. And he brought me over a big plate of barbecue and baked beans and coleslaw.
There you go.
Love my neighbors.
Well, it even sends out warnings to the entire neighborhood. So if the whole neighborhood is in with this leftover app, everybody can get involved. You can meet in the common grounds and have a big potluck.
Now, what happens if you're the neighbor who started getting invites and then suddenly they're like, oh, we're not doing that anymore?
I'm sorry, Tori.
Yeah.
I think with as many dietary restrictions as people have now, there's no way. They'll be like, now is that gluten-free? Because if it's not, Jimmy, can't eat it or something.
We only do lentil loaves in our house.
What?
Yeah. Then I won't participate in things like that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think you'll have that many people do this.
But you got to have a lot in common with your neighbors. They got to be normal. They can't be gluten-free or whatever your husband is.
Well, that's another problem is that people aren't friends with their neighbors anymore.
This is true.
They don't know them that well.
This is true.
Yeah. So you got that meatloaf surprise or meat surprise casserole or whatever's in there. I'm like, no one's wanting that.
No one wants food with the word surprise in it.
That's true. Yeah.
I only say surprise when you bring in the food.
It's hair surprise.
Oh.
Gross.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's talk about political parties and celebrities endorsing them.
No!
Hate them.
This is interesting. 1 out of 10 Americans say a celebrity has influenced their political position. Now, the good news is that means 90% of the people are ignoring them.
Good.
But it's terrifying to think that 10% of Americans actually give a crap what a celebrity thinks, no matter which side, because there are celebrities who are endorsing both candidates. I'm not picking out a candidate here. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that you let somebody who pretends to be other people and acts for a living, or is a musician that sings, or is a YouTuber that does God knows what, make a decision about who to vote for you.
Yeah.
That's sad. You should just not vote. I mean, really, instead of just picking what someone else thinks.
I was telling somebody, I said, you know, those celebrities and musicians and everyone, they don't have the same life that most Americans have.
Yeah.
Why would you listen to anything?
Yeah, that's it's like listening to the billionaires tell you who to vote for.
Yes.
Those aren't the people who you should be listening to. You should be listening to people who are in the same middle class lifestyle you're in.
They ain't coming home from work, you know, picking up the kids from school and trying to figure out what to cook for dinner and then, you know, trying to spend a little time relaxing at night.
Not to mention having the money to go get gas or go get groceries for your family because it's so expensive. They don't have to worry about any of that.
Now, meanwhile, half of Americans say they have a negative perception of celebrities because of their political positions. That's another thing. Don't tell people your political positions unless they ask. There's no reason. Who is so egotistical to think that because they say they're going to vote for a certain candidate that other people will suddenly go, well, you said to vote for him, so I'm going to change.
Plus, it's such a lose-lose situation. Because if you have 100% of the people who like you and you say who you're voting for, now in theory, 50% said, that makes me change my mind about that person.
Right. Hey, are you doing word problems here?
Not
that's
really
the only kind
problem.
Of math I can do.
But they say that for most people, it's actually 51%, just a tiny majority, don't really think highly of celebrities when they do this. They said Democrats are more likely to change their opinions or vote a certain way thanks to celebrity encouragement. That might be just because there's more of the Democrats in the celebrity world, I think. But also, this is even scarier. 1 out of 5 people think that kids of all ages should be allowed to vote.
Oh, my.
What?
Is that not terrifying?
You know what? The kids will be voting at school. And they do that sometimes. Like, the kids will do a vote at school.
Really?
Yeah. And then just it's a mock one, obviously. And they will see who's going to be the candidate.
They shouldn't bring kids into politics.
Yeah.
You know,
I was
growing
Kate,
up, I knew nothing about politics.
Well, by high school, we were into it. We were taking civics classes, and we knew
a lot.
Well, we know.
I did register to vote when I was in senior in high school. I registered and have been voting since.
But they're talking about kids as young as 5. I mean, they can't even keep their stuff inside the lines. I can't imagine they could vote.
Right.
But they said that what they really want is the parents just want to get an additional vote for each child that they have that's a minor, so they'd be able to vote 5 times
or
something.
That's not right.
That isn't right. And they say that, oddly enough, the split is equal between conservatives and liberals, so both sides think this, which is just, I feel like that's where we should cut off the line, and you shouldn't be allowed to vote if you think a 5-year-old should be allowed to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, five-year-olds don't even know if they want to be an astronaut yet.
5-year-olds that I know would vote for chicken nuggets.
Well, that's another thing. If they did allow kids to vote, boy, would the campaigning change.
Yeah.
They would be like offering free candy and all kinds of crazy stuff that the kids would be dumb enough to fall for, Cato.
Yeah.
Now, the other side of this coin is 1 out of 3 Americans think that the age for voting should be raised to 21, which is an interesting idea. I think leaving it at 18 is a good idea.
I've heard some people push for IQ tests.
I'm not against that either. Or at least a knowledge test to show you actually know about the candidates. That would keep me from being able to vote for Fish Commissioner. But at least you would have to know something about what each candidate stood for.
Because some people just vote on the name, the last name only. I'm just saying, hey.
I was younger then.
Yeah, it's like, that's a cool name. I'll go with that one.
But I really didn't get it. I mean, I still voted. But I didn't really get into politics.
It's kind of almost bad they teach everyone that you should vote. You really shouldn't unless you have like read up on the issues.
That's true. Yeah.
Because some people have some awesome names I voted for in the past.
That's sad because he's telling the truth. And to be honest, I don't think he's alone.
Yeah.
And it's not that I didn't know any of the candidates. Usually, you know, for dog catcher or water.
Right.
Yeah, right.
It's different. Now, the mayor, Knox White's been in office, I think, since I've been born. So I always knew that name growing up.
Right.
I always knew a governor growing up.
And it was
up.
A cool name.
Yeah.
When voting for cool names, it's kind of like when, you know, girls are watching football or sporting events and they just pick the guy with the team with their favorite color. Like, oh, that orange and blue goes great together. I'm going to go with that team.
Because if you had Clemson orange, I know people that wouldn't vote it just because it's Clemson
orange. I know.
Or red, you know, Carolina
Garnet.
Red.
Well, one thing everyone could agree on almost, 80% of the people said there should be more national programs to educate children and teens about the political process. Now, we had that when I was in school. I know this makes me sound like an old curmudgeon, but we had to take a class called CPS, or Comparative Political Systems.
Oh.
And so we learned about George Orwell and the Animal Farm and 1984 and who you voted for and who your senators and representatives were. And I think they should be doing that in school right now if they're not.
Well, we just had history, and that was teaching about George Washington, Ben Franklin, all those guys on, you know, the money. And so they weren't alive for us to even kind of identify with elections and stuff like that.
Well, that's why CPS is so important, because you and government classes, civics classes, those should be taught so that you actually understand this whenever you get out into the world and vote, because right now people just watch YouTubers.
But those are the most boring classes, economics and stuff like that.
Then you shouldn't vote. I mean, if you can't be bothered to learn how the government works.
In junior high, those are just boring classes, so you don't pay a lot of attention.
Well, I wasn't suggesting junior high.
I didn't. I mean, if I were asked to take the CPI class today or whatever it is, I'd probably fail it.
I would be like, is R2-D2 going to be there?
Oh, that's C-3PO.
What is it,
C-3PO?
Oh, what? No, you said
CPS, Comparative Political Systems.
Why I shouldn't vote either,
exactly,
should I?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking too, kid.
Unless it's Star Wars characters that are running for office.
Right, Chewbacca.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Listen up, you kids heading on into school this morning, because it's going to be about you. They ask the most hated activities in gym class for kids. That's one of the classes that a lot of kids don't like, PE. That's one of my favorites, because you don't have to really just study or do anything.
They don't have as much PE anymore.
Oh, man. My kids complain about it all the time.
Man, it's like they just quit trying on the kids at schools.
Did they really?
Your kids go to private school.
Yeah, private school. So my kids are always, I had to do 60 push-ups today, or this is, they're dreading, like, this Thursday, you know, whatever day it is of the week, we have to run a mile. And I just don't want to do that.
What if we had to do that coming to work? Middle of the day, they're like, all right, everybody out, run around the building.
Let's go on the playground.
I have a note from my doctor.
Now, when you are in those elementary school, you know, ages, and you do get to go to the playground, hang out with your friends for an hour, that's kind of fun. But then when you start going to PE class, and you're playing dodgeball or pickleball or whatever, there's some things that the kids hate.
Dodgeball should be called bullying ball.
What about those little things that you get on and you roll across the gym floor, and if it runs over your finger, you just about cut it off?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
It was a little belly?
Yeah, it was like a little square thing that you get on, and it had wheels.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I think y'all were playing around on like the things that they moved the garbage cans with.
To go to public school, so they were doing their best.
Biggest complaints are, and this is one of the least ones, of exercise. They just don't want to exercise, period.
Squat thrusts?
Yes.
Isn't that what we used to have to do?
Yeah, sometimes they have, like at this school that my kids go to, they have the weight room. You have to go do some weight stuff.
Oh. I liked weightlifting. What I hated was the things they called the hanging there.
Yeah.
Some people call them pull-ups. But I just called it hanging.
Oh.
Because I couldn't do any pull-ups.
The hang-ups.
And then Jill Decker came over and tried to help me.
Oh.
Which I was like, because she could do more than I could.
Right.
Which was more than one. So, yeah, that was humiliating, because you would sit there and you're like, okay, I'm going to have to do this for this presidential fitness thing. And you're thinking, couldn't I just tell him I can't do one? No, coach wants you to humiliate yourself.
Yeah. While everybody else is lined up, snickering and laughing at you.
Right after the girls went.
Well, the teacher or the PE teacher or coach, whatever, is also a big complaint that they have.
That's why. He's a sadist.
Yeah, okay. That's extreme. They also said it was just boring. And that's because maybe they weren't, you know, they're standing off on the side, not doing anything, or not getting picked.
Not getting picked.
Well, that was another thing.
You
kids
had
not
to get picked. You could just get picked last.
Yes.
What makes it boring is that they can't use their devices anymore. Like, and they go to gym class, and they got to put away their phone.
Yes.
Oh. That's,
well, a lot of schools don't allow you to have a cell phone out throughout the day.
And they're bored as crap because they're sitting in gym class with no phone.
Another complaint is sweating and then putting on your clothes.
Now, that's true. We always try to schedule gym for the last period.
Yeah, but you get it first period some years or second period. You're like, oh, man. Then go stinky all through the rest of the day.
You didn't take showers with everybody and they laughed at you?
Well, no. As you got older, you know, or you'd skip the shower.
I did middle school.
That was the showers and like locker room activity was the number one thing that they mentioned.
Yeah.
And even the smell of the locker room. locker room.
Yeah.
You can say locker room smell or whatever, and you can immediately go back and smell that, can't you?
Thanks for doing that, actually.
Sorry.
Well, it's like a skating rink and a bowling alley smell.
Except for those are a lot worse than a locker room.
Yeah, the locker room's
a lot
worse.
No, they're not. They're not that bad.
I'm sorry. I got it backwards.
Are you done eating breakfast?
He's eating chili over here.
It's worse in the locker room than the bowling alley.
Okay, all right.
Because the locker room has that unusual smell of mold and mildew.
Well, and they said changing clothes in a hurry because the bell's about to ring. And, you know, that's another added thing they hate about gym class or PE.
Well, I grew up in Florida, too. So talk about hot and sweaty. We yeah. were coming in from 100-degree days with 100% humidity, and we were just soaking down our clothes when we put on the regular
yeah.
clothes.
Yeah, and then you're trying to go, you know, and you see the girl at the locker that you have a crush on, and you like, man, I'd go up to her right now, but I'm all hot and sweaty with my clothes and stinking. They're sticking to me.
Well, you'd have had to me because I wouldn't have gone up to her if I was wearing a three-piece suit.
Oh, I got you.
Bliss. I was afraid.
Well, hey, we feel your pain there, high schoolers and junior high schoolers, middle schoolers and all that stuff. We've gone through it, too.
Yep.
But it builds character to take a shower.
Okay, whatever.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.